Good afternoon, everyone. Well, God, the half nine service were much better than that. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you, Johnny, for your welcome. If you have access to a Bible, please turn to Philippians chapter 2. It is a real privilege to be here and to join you in celebrating and giving thanks for this exciting new development or redevelopment and completion of a major part of your buildings, your home as a local church. A new series of Your Home Made Perfect recently started in the BBC, and it kind of feels a bit like that's what you have done. You have made this home perfect. It's amazing. It really is so good. But I know, as we've been thinking about, that you're not just here celebrating a place, a building, this refurb. You're also here to celebrate the goodness and the generosity of God for what He has done and what He is doing, and for what He has enabled you to provide for one another and to provide for this community and beyond. As I say, it is a privilege for me to be here, but I also realize, Johnny was honest about this with me, but I realized that you had hoped for an A-lister American to be part of these special services, and so I can only apologize. It's another thing to blame on COVID that I'm here. Plus, many of you know Haddon Wilson. Who knows Haddon Wilson, if you want to, like, lots of you know Haddon, who's been a key influence and a mentor in my life for years, since he was the pastor at Ballinahinch Baptist, and I served alongside him as a youth worker for 8 years. And now him and Betty are members at Windsor, which is really weird. But I understand, I only found this out last week when I was with them, that Haddon spoke at the opening of this part of the building back in January 2014, and so when I heard that, I really feel like you've been shortchanged this time round. Not only have you not got the A-list American, but you haven't got Haddon Wilson, and you're stuck with me, so I'm sorry. I do want to bring greetings and best wishes from Windsor Baptist, one of your sister churches in the association, which, as Johnny has already said, has also been on a similar journey in terms of a building project and providing new facilities. The building that we have refurbished on the Lisburn Road used to be the Majestic Cinema, and we've kind of retained the name of the building as the home of Windsor Baptist Church. And we're seeking to be a church without walls, who live up in and out, up in relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in relationship with one another as brothers and sisters, as family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and then out in our relationships with our neighbors and our community and our world. And so as we pray for you, please pray for us in our new home, as together, Hamilton Road Baptist, Windsor Baptist, we seek to worship and witness as the people of God in our specific context and communities. So Philippians chapter 2, one of the striking features of your entire suite of buildings now. And I realize this has been intentional, and it has kind of been motivated and sparked by your philosophy of ministry. But one of the striking features about your church is the transparency, the glass front, the additional glass front that increasingly enables you to see out, but also increasingly enables everyone, neighbors, passers-by, this community to see in. It's really noticeable. Milton Jones, the comedian and regular panelist on Mock the Week, has said that some people think of the church as a Winnie the Pooh pajama suit. It's safe and warm, but they hope to goodness no one sees them in it. Well, it kind of strikes me that you do want to be seen in this church, that you are more than happy to be seen by this community in this church, and you want others to be seen here too. And it's that transparency, that clarity, that visibility that you have created as a church that communicates. That says something. It actually says a lot about you as a church, and it provides opportunity. And I know it is your desire as the people of God, as the body of Christ in this place, to be literally and spiritually, a building that is open and welcoming for others to come in here and encounter Jesus and encounter you as His followers. And so as I was thinking about today and your heart to be a transparent and compelling Christian community that illuminates Jesus, that points people to Jesus, I was drawn to this phrase from Philippians 2. It's a familiar phrase where Paul encourages the believers in that church community to be and to do certain things so that they might shine like stars, shine as lights among others in that prosperous Greek city in its banger of its day. But in this transparent building, and from this transparent building, that is my prayer for you, that you will shine like stars. For your opportunity to do so now seems to have increased significantly. And so on this special day of celebration and dedication, that is what I want to share with you from God's word. Just three words. And so if you forget everything else, just remember these three words. Shine like stars. The heavens, writes the psalmist, the heavens declare the glory of God, which obviously includes the literal stars. Night after night, they have no speech, they use no words, yet their voice goes out into all the earth. And we, you, have this amazing chance to shine like stars and therefore to declare the glory of God. What an immense privilege. And in those verses that Calvin read so well for us from Philippians 2, Paul reveals how that happens or how it might happen. And so I want to give you a few pointers, a few things to do, a couple of things not to do to ensure that you shine like stars in this place, from this place, against the backdrop of a dark and a disconnected world, a broken and a fractured environment. I hope, to quote Coldplay, that you might be a sky full of stars, and to go on with their lyrics, who get lighter the more it gets dark. So as we did earlier, and I love the fact that you also stand for the public reading of God's word, we do that at Windsor as well. Can we stand again? And I'm going to ask you to read God's word this time along with me. So let's stand together. If I read the first verse, it'll be on the screen there, and then if you read the next verse, and then I'll read them, we'll go alternatively. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. As you hold firmly to the word of life. Do grab a seat. Verse 12, the very first verse we read there, starts with that word, therefore, meaning that what comes next, what follows, what we have just read is intimately connected to what has gone previously and what we didn't read. And many of you know Paul has just been talking about or possibly singing about, because verses 5 to 11 of Philippians 2 are often seen as an early Christian hymn. But it's all about Jesus, isn't it? In verses 5 to 11, all about Jesus and the example of Jesus. And as the music fades, the Apostle Paul then says, therefore, which indicates that in light of all I've just said, in light of all I've just sang, let me tell you how to respond. Let me tell you how to react. Let me tell you how to live. Let me explain how you can reflect his attitude, his Christ-like attitude of humility and service and obedience. And let me tell you what will happen as a result. And in a nutshell, so to speak, here's what will happen if you do. Verse 15, then you will shine among them like stars. Hamilton Road Baptist, as you begin a new chapter in an increasingly transparent building which communicates, that promotes visibility and invites people to see Jesus in this place and to see Jesus in your lives, I encourage you to shine like stars. Shine like stars in this space, in this community, in your neighborhood and beyond. And here, I'm going to give you four ways how you might do that based on these verses. And the first is this. Oh, Phil, can you flick on the next one? It stopped on me there. The first is this, to continue to work out. Oh, it's not going to go. There, the next one, sorry, Phil. Great. Continue to work out your salvation, verse 12. Now, I realize this is a bit of a minefield and we do need to tread carefully, but it explicitly says, continue to work out your salvation. Now, not work for it, so this is not about becoming a follower of Jesus. This is about being a follower. This is not about achieving personal salvation. It's about becoming more and more like the one who has saved and rescued you. This is about discipleship. This is about Christian living. It's about, to coin a kind of another key and helpful phrase from this letter, it's about conducting yourself in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. You see, the first recipients of this letter were believers. So this was not about getting right with God, but it was about living right with God. It was about daily choices and decisions that enabled them and helped them to work out their salvation. And Paul had already indicated a key aspect and feature of what this looks like and how you do it. And that key feature is obedience. And so he writes, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation." Because obedience to God's word and obedience to the teaching of Jesus are critical if you're going to work out your salvation and if you are going to shine like stars. And so, for example, Paul has just been saying, listen, your attitude, your mindset should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And then he writes and then he sings about humility and service. And as followers of Jesus Christ, God's word teaches us that we are to be completely humble. We're actually to humble ourselves. And we are to serve others. We are to become a servant to all. And therefore, being humble and serving others works out your salvation and ensures you shine. Two more quick comments on this. We do this with fear and we do this with trembling. That doesn't mean we should be scared to do this, but it does mean we should take this serious. This matters. We must not take this lightly. Continue to work out your salvation through obedience. Now, for certain people, I know that this can somehow and sometimes sound that it's like it's entirely down to them. I've got to work this out. I've got to obey. But that's why the next sentence is so incredibly vital and liberating. Verse 13, the next one fell for me. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So we work out as God works in. We work out as God works in. God, by his Holy Spirit, indwells and actively enables us to work out our salvation. He is the one who gives us the desire and the power to live this life. It's exactly just like the Apostle Peter said in the beginning of his second letter, how God's divine power has given you and I everything that we need to live a godly life. Hamilton Road Baptist. Continue to work out your salvation through obedience to Jesus with the help of the indwelling active enabler, and then, because then, you will shine like stars. Second way we do this, next one, Phil, thanks, is via something or two things you shouldn't do. And I find this fascinating, not just what we shouldn't do, but what happens when and if we don't do these things. And so Paul writes the next one, "Do everything without grumbling, without complaining and arguing." How practical is that? How direct is that? How countercultural is that? How challenging is that? Because surely complaining and arguing are just part of our DNA, are they not? Everyone does those things. And we're actually really good, or I'm really good at both. Now, this is about more than, say, for example, someone complaining about the amount of glass that you now have in a suite of buildings and who's going to clean it all. This is about a deeper level of kind of discontentment and ingratitude. And the first aspect of this, the complaining part of it, this can be tracked back to the people of God in the wilderness whenever this became a recurring problem. Despite God's goodness, his provision, his patience, his generosity, his miraculous intervention time and time again, the people of God, they just kept voicing off. And that sparked what was a very strong reaction from God. And if you fast forward to the New Testament, you find that this issue is still live. And so, for example, Paul, writing to the Corinthian believers, advised them, please don't complain, don't grumble like the Israelites did, but instead learn from the error of their ways. And here in Philippi, Paul is highlighting this negative attitude once again. And he's warning against it, partly because I believe it sends out all kinds of confusing signals, and it certainly takes the sheen off our ability to shine like stars and to be lights. Plus, in addition, back to the therefore, this is definitely not the mindset of Jesus, which they are urged to reflect. Jesus had every reason to complain, but he chose not to. Instead, he considered himself nothing. He took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so as Paul builds up to this idea of shining like stars in this generation, he directly says, do everything, or in your translation it may say, do all things. There's not much wriggle room. In other words, do life without complaining, without grumbling. Hamilton Road Baptist, as people look in, as they come in, may they discover a community that radiates gratitude and contentment, and therefore shines bright. And the second aspect of that sentence, the second no-go area, is arguing. And specifically, it's arguing that leads to division and disunity and conflict. And again, without going into any more detail, it's not hard to see how arguing reduces star quality. It definitely contradicts and compromises a Christ-like attitude. And so Hamilton Road Baptist, radiate unity. Do all things, writes Paul, without either of these two things. And here's why, and this kind of all flows, so that, and I quote, so that you may become pure, blameless, children of God without fault in a warped and a crooked generation. So here's the third way to ensure that you shine like stars. Live blameless, pure, and without fault lives. Now, at face value, I fully appreciate that those seem impossible. I mean, how can you ever hope to reach that level of what sounds like almost perfection? And yet, true Christian discipleship is about heading in that direction, because it's all about becoming more and more like Jesus, who was blameless and pure and without fault. So you see, as God carries on and God completes the work that he has started in you, which Philippians 1:6 refers to, what is God's desire? What is God's intention? It is to form, it is to conform, it is to transform each and every one of us into the image of his Son. And that's a process. That's about increasingly becoming. That's about journeying towards. That's about growth and development as you work out your salvation, as you obey God's word, as you ditch complaining and arguing, all with God's indwelling help. Then you become increasingly holy, increasingly Christ-like. You become blameless and pure and without fault. And that is what sets you apart. That's what enables you to be a distinctive community. And then you will shine like stars with greater and greater intensity among your families, among your friends, among your colleagues at work, and in this neighborhood. And Paul describes the context in which you do this, the backdrop. He says it's against the backdrop of a warped and a crooked generation. It's a phrase that comes directly from Deuteronomy 32, that song of Moses, where it says, they are corrupt and not his children to their shame. They are a warped and a crooked generation. And it's a reasonably general phrase, and it's used to describe people who have turned away from God, who are turning away from God, and they're finding other gods, other idols to worship and serve. And therefore, this is not about us getting hung up about specific activities and practices and values in 21st century society. This is not about saying that's warped or that's crooked or whatever. This is about recognizing that we still live in a context and in a generation where people are astray and adrift from God. They're living for themselves and they're living for other gods and idols. And as Christians, as a local community of believers in this transparent building, it is your calling, it is your privilege to shine like stars amongst this generation. In and through and from this highly visible place in Hamilton Road, you do that. You will do that more effectively as you become blameless and pure and without fault. In other words, as you become more and more like Jesus. There's one more thing. The fourth thing you've got to do to shine like stars, and that is this. You've got to hold, verse 16, hold firmly, hold fast to the word of life. We've got to guard, we've got to protect, we've got to make known, we've got to proclaim the word of life, the written word of life, the living word of life, Scripture and Jesus. And I know that's your heart. I know that's your desire. I know that is your priority, that as people see in, as people come in, as people listen in, that they will hear, they will discover, they will encounter the gospel word of life that changes lives, that transforms lives, that provides eternal life. And so, Hamilton Road, on this significant occasion, at the special service of celebration as you officially open and give thanks for these brilliant new facilities that express, that communicate transparency, that invite people in, enter in, join in. I pray that you will shine like stars. You will shine as bright lights as you do these four things. Continue to work out your salvation through obedience with the help of the active indweller. That you will do everything, all things. You will do life without grumbling or complaining or arguing. That you will radiate a content, a grateful, and a united community. That you will live blameless, pure, and without fault lives as you increasingly become more and more like Jesus. And that you will hold firmly, hold fast to the word of life. May you shine, and may many from this community be drawn to the light. Let's pray. Father, we're about to sing these lyrics, but I want to pray them. Send forth your word, and let there be light. And may the lives of this local community of believers, may they shine like stars, and may they tell your story. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.